WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, I knew you'd come.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you are listening on Twitch, check and see if you have a Twitch Prime sub available. It is the purple button up above your screen. If you have Amazon Prime and you've linked it to your Twitch account, you may have a free sub available. If you haven't done that and you want to do that, well, it's simple. You just hook your Twitch Prime up to your Amazon Prime. Boom, you're done. You get a sub. Any Twitch, or I should say any Amazon Prime works for it, but ask your parents' permission before you do it. Okay? I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
To correct the plug, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you link it to your Twitch account. That's called Twitch Prime. If you have a Twitch Prime account, you don't need to link it to your Amazon Prime account. Because
whatever.
That's how it goes. Amazon Prime, link to Twitch, that's called Twitch Prime for free.
We're still working on the plug. Not good. I'm not a good shill yet.
Creator code Rocket Socket Fortnite Name Show. Hi, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Word on Twitter. Come to wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive, or rockradioshow.com. Interact with us there. We'll talk to you as you talk to us. And it's like a frisbee. You throw it to us, we throw it back to you, and so on and so forth. And she's going to talk now because I'm running out of jokes.
References. Yes, tonight we have a lot to talk about. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT. We are talking TakeOver tonight, and yes, we will have the analyst and the assistant to the regional analyst joining us as well a little bit later in the show. And then yes, as I said, in the tasteful side boob before we launch the full show, we will be doing Fortnite with Friends after this show. We gave you a little teaser because we were finishing a challenge on the tasteful side boob, but we didn't quite get it done. So we will have to finish that later. But I say we jump right into the news, but to our friends over at at mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. And, well, if you live under a rock in the wrestling community, you didn't hear about this one. Double or Nothing was AEW's pay-per-view this past weekend, and it was received to huge success, which is awesome for them. They did very, very well, and there is some big, big news coming out of that pay-per-view, including they got one of the hottest free agents, if not the hottest free agent in all of professional wrestling, one Jon Moxley, aka Dean Ambrose, to sign a multi-year deal with the company. Now, Mox is doing other appearances. He's going to be appearing for New Japan. He's making that debut against the one and only CJ Parker, aka Mr. Man Panties,
aka Juice Robinson.
AKA Juice Robinson. And he's also appearing for several other indie promotions around the U.S.
Including Northeast Wrestling, which Devil's Fan is apparently going to, where he'll meet Jon Moxley and Renee Young, because they're both going to be at the show together.
Yes.
I would assume that's the one he's going to.
But I think so. Yeah, that's is it Devil's Fan? Let us know if it is.
That's the one I've heard
also
of.
Please tell Renee Young that I love her fashion. Not that she'll really care, but I love how she dresses. Anyway, so that is some really, really, really big news for them. Mm-hmm. They've gotten one of the landmark stars that they need for the company. Not to say that they were hurting for talent, but this is a name. This is a huge signing. This got them a ton of buzz and got a lot of people's attention, including WWE's, which is always good for them. And it's good for Mox. He put out an interview where he talked about how burnout he was and how he wasn't enjoying where he was, and it was giving him health problems and he was having all kinds of issues. And so now he seems much more healthy and much more happy where he is, which is what you want.
Yeah, he was restricted creatively, and this will be a better creative situation for him going forward. He made an awesome debut at Double or Nothing. If you want to know thoughts on Double or Nothing, go to CBRadioLive.com. You can check out CBRadio Not So Live, featuring myself, Lone Jobber, and the intern, as we went to spend over 2 hours talking Double or Nothing. It's like a WrestleMania podcast. We did 2 hours. So you can check that out.
There's a lot to talk about.
There was. And he's going to New Japan, Okay, so here's his deal. He's allowed to do things internationally. That will always be a part of his plan or deal with AEW. He's allowed to work indies for now. He is AEW exclusive, supposedly, once TV starts in the States and North America, whatever. So that's sort of how this works. So once TV starts, there's probably no more indie dates. So if he's going to be in an indie show, you might want to go see him now.
Yeah, any indie shows that he's working right now, go see him. Now, obviously, anything is flexible. Anything can change with this deal in terms of whether they're going to allow him to continue work on the indies after TV starts for AEW. It could be that as long as it doesn't have TV, he can go work it. Because his desire that he said was he originally had never planned to go to AEW when he left WWE. His plan was to go back to CZW, honestly, and work the indies. That's where he wanted to be. And then they made him a good enough offer that he was like, yeah, okay, let's do this. I do want to talk about one thing about the interview specifically pointed at news sites. And if you want to look it up, you can Google it. It's easily accessible. We don't need to tell you where to find it. But one thing that a lot of people are like trying to twist this interview into is that it's highly negative WWE focus, that he's like, oh, it was awful, it was terrible. He's critical, but he's very, very also grateful. And I feel like that should be like pointed out, that like he's very grateful, he's very complimentary, that, you know, of the time that he had there, because a lot of good happened to him. You know, he talks about meeting his wife and how absolutely wonderful that was for him, and how she's the love of his life, and that even if they didn't have anything, they'd have each other. And that's great. That's what you want to hear. So it's like, I feel like news sites are just like taking the negative stuff he said, and they're like, oh, look at this, he said this and he said that. It's like, that's not quite what he said. He said it, but he didn't say it in the context. So please don't take it out of the context and twist it. That's all I'm saying.
Which they already have.
Which they already have, and they will. But yeah, so I feel like anybody that hasn't heard it, they're like, oh my God, he was like out there bashing people. No, he wasn't. He really wasn't. He was just being honest. And you hear that in the interview. Mm-hmm. So, but moving on, Dean Ambrose is not the only signing.
Luchasaurus has signed with the company. He signed a deal with them. He's an interesting fella.
A little weird looking.
A little weird looking, but he's an interesting little fella. So there's that. Good signing. We talked about it in the podcast where it's like, we want to see who they're focusing on. So if you make a deal with them, you want to see them focus. And I'm glad they signed him, because you now know a cornerstone of the upper mid card you're getting. So there you go.
There you go. And last but certainly not least, another big pickup for them was in fact Dean Malenko, who has as we all know, left WWE, and he's signed on to be a producer slash coach for the company. That's great for them. They need more experienced, not that the people running it aren't experienced, but more experienced, more seasoned veterans, kind of guiding the younger generation, as it were. And I feel like Malenko was kind of in a similar boat as Ambrose. He was just frustrated, and so he left for greener pastures, essentially, and that's where he is. So I'm sure they will benefit greatly from having Dean Malenko around.
He's a good agent that can help run the show live, so that's what they need. So there you go.
They need experienced people to do that, and he will do that.
And it takes some of the pressure off of people like Cody, who is trying to do every role. It's like, once you hire other people, you can go from there.
Yeah, it will allow Cody to focus on.
Ash brings up Arn Anderson, needs to go to AEW. I wouldn't be surprised.
He'll probably show up at some point. It's almost a guarantee. I think the only reason Arn wouldn't go is if he's not asked.
I would assume he'll be asked, but they don't have TV yet, so.
Yeah, they're being very circumspect in who they're hiring right now for TV, because I think they're trying to figure out what the show is going to be, how they're going to do it, all that other stuff, because the deal just got announced not that long ago. So it's just, we have a TV show. Now they have to figure out how they're going to do it. And once they have that plan in place for TV, then they can hire what they need. Because it's like, it's always great to hire all these wonderfully intelligent, talented, seasoned people, but you have to have a place for them, right? You have to make sure that that knowledge is going to be applied properly and they're not just sitting on their duff backstage collecting a paycheck. That's not what you want. So they're being very cautious in terms of hiring anybody that is not a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
They're being very, very, very specific about how they're doing that. So I would expect we see more signings of that nature later on down the line, closer, probably, I would say, August-ish, maybe even as early as July. But yeah, they're locking down who they want to lock down right now, and then it's, we'll get everybody else. Because it takes a huge staff to run a weekly TV show.
Yeah, it does.
Especially a live one, so They have to know what they're doing, because you only get one shot at doing something like this, and you want to make sure you do it right.
Pretty much.
Because all I'm going to say is just look at Impact and what happened with Impact. I'm not saying that their hiring did that, but they had one chance and it got messed up, and they've just never really ever recovered from it. And there were a host of other problems going on there. But again, they tried to do a thing. It didn't work. So there you go. Moving on from AEW, let's do the Blame Brits.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Yeah, Devils fan, just ignore that crazy man behind the curtain that said that. I don't know why he's out there saying that. For those of you that don't even. Yeah, not even gonna bring it up.
Next.
But yeah, just, yeah, no, he's nuts.
Don't ever give him the time of day. Moving on.
Yeah. Moving on. Brent was busy this week. He's also in chat. Hi, Brent. So we have the Lucha Bros, Pentagon and Blame Brent.
With undisclosed injuries that forced them to miss a show the next day, and that show entirely being canceled because they were not able to be a part of it.
So, way to go, Brent. AJ Styles.
With a, I guess, lower back injury?
Hashtag blame Brent.
I think it's a nagging back injury for him that he's had and he's got to rest.
Yeah, remember he hurt his ass, basically. So it's probably stemming from that.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least, Tim Stein.
With a broken foot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Way to go, Brent.
Wait, we gotta do that better. Wrestling promoter and host of Wrestle Talk Radio, Tim Stein, with a broken foot.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Did he yell at you?
No, I just felt like
being a dick?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, moving on. WWE has launched a brand new mobile game.
It's called WWE Universe. It's for Android and iOS. It's from Glue Mobile. It's a fighting game, kind of, but you also have to make a roster. There's a little bit of a story mode to it. I checked it out. It's okay. It's cool. Give it a shot. It's free. like all games, it's free. So check it out.
Yay! And last but certainly not least, Road Dogg's position has been, well, semi-revealed. As we all know, he stepped down shortly after WrestleMania as the head writer of SmackDown, citing that the pressure was just too much. And it's now been revealed that he's moving to NXT. His role has not necessarily been disclosed, but I would suspect it has something to do with creative. And so he's going to go work for Papa Hunter down in Florida.
Make it's the perfect spot for him, honestly.
It's the perfect spot for him, and I feel like Road Dogg will be back on the main roster at some point, probably when Hunter takes over. So this is essentially keeping the seat warm for him until he's ready to go back up. So good for him.
Yeah.
SmackDown?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown. Showdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So one thing you noticed was Charlotte Flair's outfit on SmackDown.
What the hell? Just what what was that? That was like Barbie meets Pretty Woman meets I don't know. Like that was, not that I have anything wrong with Hot Pink. Hot Pink is fine. But it's like, it took me 5 seconds to figure out, one, if she was wearing shorts or a skirt, because you legit could not tell. Especially when she was, like, leaning over the ring and she's kind of got her legs awkwardly spread. I was like, oh god, I hope those are shorts. But, yeah, I mean, it was fine. She looked good in it, but it was, there was a whole look going on there. It was just very, seeing as the Charlotte that we have seen for months and months and months and months and months has been walking around in, like, leather and black, and she's been all, she had a goth minute. Now she's gone from goth to Barbie.
Well, she was having tea time with Lacey Evans, so she had to dress appropriately.
You can wear leather to tea.
I know you can, but she was trying to do a thing. I don't know. But that relationship...
She looked good in it. Not to get me wrong. She looked good in it. It was like a vast departure from what she had been wearing.
So that Lacey Evans and Charlotte partnership is no longer, as Lacey went after Charlotte after Lacey lost to Bayley. And yeah, so but Charlotte got the last shot in on her. So there you go. Good little segment.
I like Lacey's gear. It was cute. It was very, very, very cute.
She had a pretty good, decent match with Bayley, so...
She did. She really did.
And Bayley's looking better in the ring. Like there's a new passion. She's more passionate again. It feels like she's fired up more when she's in the ring.
They've renewed her spirit, as it were.
Yeah, kind of.
And brought the old Bayley back. Well, I mean, it's like there for a while. It's like it's probably hard for her to get motivated because they're not really doing a lot with her. They're turning her into a 3-year-old that has a crush on Corey Graves. They're doing other stupid stuff with her. So the fact that they're now taking her seriously and they've made her the SmackDown Women's Champion, I feel like, yeah, that would inspire me too. So I'm not surprised that she's not like, yeah, let's do the thing.
Okay. What's up with Aleister Black? I don't know. The promos just aren't clicking for me.
I don't think they quite know what to do with Aleister Black. So they're like, we're just going to stick you in a dark room and we're going to have you cut these eerie promos because you're spooky, right? Like, Aleister Black is probably one of the most simple people. You just have him go out there and murder people. Like, that's all you have to have him do. I mean, again, and maybe, I don't, is he one of those that's meant to stay in NXT? I don't know, but it's like, I just, every time I see him, they're like, okay, we're going to bring him and Ricochet up together, and they're going to be a tag team because we don't literally know what to do with them. So we're going to put them in a tag team together. Oh, wait. Aleister's wife works with Andrade, and Andrade is dating Charlotte, so they all have to stay together. Well, this is super awkward, because we can't just have Aleister and Ricochet on the same show. So hey, let's split them and then not figure out what the hell to do with them. Because they are doing Ricochet so wrong right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're doing Ricochet wrong. I think he's alright.
He's winning all the things.
He's in the feud with Cesaro, and we're getting good wrestling matches. I think that's okay.
Finally, but there for a while they were jobbing him out.
Well, yeah, he jobbed a couple times, but yeah. I don't know. You mentioned he's more fit for NXT. No, he deserves to be on main roster. You put him in a position where you have, instead of calling back a Dolph Ziggler, you put in an Aleister Black. And that's how you sort of start elevating people, is like, you keep calling guys like Dolph Ziggler back and putting him in those positions. And no offense to Dolph Ziggler, but we've seen it been done. If you give a guy, see what you're doing with Kofi, it's like you're giving a guy a chance and putting him in a position. If you give a guy like Aleister Black and put him in that position, see if he can deliver. Because that's the only way you'll know.
Hmm. Maybe a certain TV host could come and, I don't know, help Aleister Black balance his darkness and learn to harness it with a very creepy mask and awful striped pants.
Yowie wowie.
Yowie wowie.
Speaking of Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens talked about what Dolph did, and he also talked about Kofi Kingston and how he was going to beat Kofi Kingston tonight, but he didn't. He lost. Kofi beat Kevin Owens in a good match.
Oh, it was great. I would take more of that in a heartbeat.
Did you know that Mandy Rose was on a cover of a magazine?
Was she? I mean, I had no idea. I mean, what was it? Was it my? Was it she? Oh, wait, it was Self. It was Self. She was on the cover of Self magazine.
It was Carmella and Mandy. Was it?
Yeah, it was it was Carmella and Mandy. No, with Sonya.
I meant the magazine. What was it?
Oh.
It's Muscle and Fitness. Her edition is what it was. That's the actual magazine. She was giving out copies, and then Mandy beat Carmella. It's a final match. It was what it was.
Best part was when Carmella kicked the magazine out of her hand.
Daniel Bryan called the SmackDown Live Tag Team Division a joke. Eric Rowan told a knock-knock joke.
Hey, my boy Eric, he's got jokes, all right? Knock knock jokes.
The
best part of this was like the cute little smile Eric had after he was like, knock knock. It's like, oh, you dork. So you adorable murderous dork.
So his mission, their mission, is to save the tag team division. And then out came Otis and his partner, drawing a blank. Tucker. Drawing blank for a second. I can't wait for Daniel Bryan versus Otis in a singles match. Give it to me.
Otis versus like anybody but Brian, especially with what he's doing right now. Yes. All the things. Just yes.
Give me that match. And the tag matches will be fun too, but give me Brian versus Otis. Just because. Steak versus Kale. Exactly.
Yes. Exactly.
Exactly. Shane McMahon had a celebration because Shane McMahon Appreciation Night, and they had a video package and everything like that. Then R-Truth ran into the ring. Drake Maverick rolled into the ring. R-Truth beat Drake Maverick because, 24/7 rule. And then Elias ended up beating R-Truth and becoming the 24/7 champion.
So go Elias.
His first ever championship.
Hey! And then unfortunately he lost it the same night back to R-Truth.
In the main event, because it was Roman and R-Truth versus Elias and Drew McIntyre, the 24/7 rule was suspended for the match. After the win, Elias was still down. R-Truth got the win, got his title back, because the rule's back in effect after the main event. So that was pretty much SmackDown.
It's good. It was a very good show. It was a very entertaining show. I liked it.
I thought it was good. We also got some news coming out of SmackDown.
We do.
This Monday, on Monday Night Raw, it's the return of The Undertaker.
Okay, I just really had to laugh at this because, not because Taker's coming back, because gay dad, but because it's in Austin. Dude has to promote a match, and he doesn't even have to leave, like, he doesn't even have to fly. They're just like, we're just gonna bring the show to you. How about that? You know, it's like, you don't want to come? Okay, alright, we'll just bring the show to Austin, it'll be fine, you can just hop in your car, drive down. You know what, you don't even have to drive, we'll send somebody to pick you up. I just have to laugh. None of that happened, by the way, but that's what it feels like. It's like, Taker's got to promote the match for Saudi, and they just happen to schedule a show in Austin when he has to do that. So, very funny.
Very coincidental, because remember, the show was delayed, so it just all works out perfectly for Taker.
It does. It absolutely does. So, yay, Dad on Raw. Very exciting. Hopefully he fixed his hair. Probably not, but hopefully he did.
He didn't fix his hair.
So, all right. Well, I think that means that we're going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be doing Chewy of the Week. We're talking NXT, and we are talking NXT TakeOver with our special guests. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Yeah!
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every dance you get. I find it absolutely wonderful.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. What did I say?
RackRadio.com.
RackRadioShow.com. There we go.
Gotta get the plug correct.
Well, I have a little bit of an echo. Excuse me.
Echo. Is it gone now?
Yeah, it's gone. Anyway, live radio, guys.
Hey.
Live radio show.
We didn't change any controls. It just went away.
Yay, Skype. So, all right, we are back. We're here. We're getting ready to talk NXT and TakeOver, and we have special guests with us. Do we want to do introductions first, or we want to do...
No, we'll do tweets, and then they'll wait, and then we'll bring them in.
Okay, so they're going to sit awkwardly in silence while we do Tweet of the Week. So, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Before you get to your tweets, we have news. We have breaking news.
Really? What broke?
So, as we ended the last segment, someone's returning to Monday Night Raw, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the first time ever, Goldberg appears on SmackDown Live this Tuesday. Yep. That's the thing.
Yay!
Tweets, go.
Yeah. By the way, Anubis real quick, because I didn't see this before, just to follow up what Rock said. Yeah, he's lived in Austin for a really, really long time. I don't quite remember when he moved there. I think he moved there like way the hell back in like 2001 or something ridiculous like that. He's from Houston originally, so mm-hmm. he still lives in the very large state of Texas, but different part. Mm-hmm. Weirder part in Houston.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dr. Lupo, can't believe Courage JD joined 100 Thieves. I'm hurt. I spent countless hours offering Jack 8-piece chicken nugget meals, the ability to look at my car whenever he wanted, not drive it, don't be ridiculous, and a chance to meet a kid who saw Ariana Grande live once. True betrayal. Ashley tweets him and goes, should have gotten him a 12-piece. Dr. Lupo responds, I screwed up big time. Mud Dog Robinson goes, we countered with a 12-piece meal, he just couldn't resist. Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
Yowie Xavier Wowie. Woods.
Yowie Wowie. There we go. The Yowie Wowie. Xavier Woods, Big E, and Kofi. I forgive you guys for attempting to vandalize my home and make fun of me and my brothers. I can be a real jerk sometimes. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Also, Kofi is a great champ, Bray. And he includes the picture of the time the New Day dressed up as the Wyatt family. Piggy responds, let Luke Harper shine and we'll call it even. Bray Wyatt goes, be careful what you ask for. I'll see you around, amigo. Keep up the fantastic work. Biggie goes, bless you, friend. P.S. I'd like to see a sex scandal involving the witch and the buzzard next episode. Bray goes, yikes. Are you saying you want to have a summer party at the funhouse? Say no more. Let's do it. Oh, God, why? Why do they give wrestlers Twitter? Why? Other than for shit like this.
Because it gives us a weekly segment for 7 years.
Thank you, sweet baby Jesus. Domestic Fish. Big E, don't turn heel. They'll just feed you to Roman and you'll be a jobber not long after. Frowny face. Big E responds, damn it, man! I was planning on clunking Kofi and Woods' heads together and tap dancing on their lifeless bodies next week, but now I won't. Adult Swim, with a rather heavy question, where do we go after we die? Buster Hyman tags Bray Wyatt, and he goes, no one dies. You just don't understand yet. Bray had a particularly interesting week on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I should also add that tweet that he sent to Kofi and Ian Woods. Woods was kind of like, put out a gif that was like, yeah, okay, why not? Kofi put out this like suspicious gif where he's like, I don't think so. Like, what are you talking about? No. See, Kofi knows what he's about. Kofi's a smart one. Mm-hmm. Clearly. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead.
Big E, I've been crafting a tweet in which I barge into a network meeting and pitch streaming erotica during Raw's third hour. It soon revealed that I confused edgy for edging. Something is off.
To say the least.
And CM Paul's breaking. Sami Zayn mentions AEW on WWE television in the third hour. My sources just told me that Vince McMahon is still living backstage and he had 6 more months to Luke Harper's contract.
Oh.
Tweet of the week.
Alrighty, let's not make them sit in awkward silence anymore.
But
let's
so much more fun like that.
Well, we have to talk about NXT and TakeOver because it's Sunday on the WWE Network.
No, Saturday.
Whatever. It's Saturday, Sunday. I can't get my plugs right tonight, guys.
Saturday.
One of those nights.
Which means we'll be live following TakeOver on Saturday. Anyway, intro for first one.
The NXT analyst, TJ Villamega.
Yeah, I'm sitting back in the wings. I don't expect to hear about edging.
Well, it is Big E. You never know what's going to come out of that one.
Well, if he's edging, I know one thing that's not coming out of him.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Anyway, should we introduce the other one?
Yeah.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Crittens.
Hi, Brent.
I refuse to acknowledge that.
I was about to drink. I was about to take a drink of my Coke, and I'm so happy I didn't.
God damn it.
I warned you.
So wait, does this mean the Elite get to be 5-1 considering now that
No.
No, okay.
But I did warn you about it. I warned you.
You asshole.
Hey, we're here to talk about TakeOver, right, Lindsay?
Absolutely. And it emanates this Saturday on the WWE Network. We will be live afterwards. All of that. We're here to talk about it. We're gonna mix in a little NXT as well.
As we go along, if there's anything of relevance, we will. So there's 5 matches on the show. Let's start with the first one. Riddle and Strong.
This stems from the bloody flip-flop incident.
Yeah, those damn bloody flip-flops. They're not safe. Don't wear flip-flops around backstage at NXT. Same.
Backstage at NXT is not safe.
That's true. Or at the or the Performance Center. It's not safe there either. Apparently, there's a lot of fuss going on between wrestlers.
I feel like if you put that much testosterone in one space, you're bound to have problems.
The Performance Center has nothing to do with testosterone.
Are we sure? It was built by Triple H.
She has a valid point there.
There's lots of testosterone going on there. Just saying.
This is the one match on the show where there's nothing at stake, but should be a really good match.
This should be fun as hell.
You say pride. What do you say, Mike? What's at stake in this one?
At stake at this point is most likely, depending on the other matches, because we pretty much have the Undisputed Era commanding the card. So I feel like all the Undisputed Era matches have something to prove, just so they aren't the one that loses. I don't know. Besides that, like, I don't really need this to be anything. Like, this promises to be a pretty good match.
There's really not much there's a feud going on, but there's like nothing to really dive into. It's sort of like, okay, we know it's gonna be good. I don't think they can have a bad match together. It's TakeOver. All the elements are there for something really good. But this match may also get lost in the shuffle because you got a ladder match on the show. You got a big title match on the show. I don't know where it fit. Do you open with this? But do you open with the ladder? I don't know.
I think you open with the ladder and you use this, and I hate to say it like this, you use this to cool off from that match. Because I think the crowd's going to be hyped for Velveteen just because, well, it's Velveteen. The women's match is going to have shenanigans. I think this one you place second or fourth to help kind of let the crowd kind of let it sink in before another big match takes place.
Omega mentioned the Undisputed Era and how they're all over the show, and you don't want the one to be the one to lose. If you're putting this in the middle, does Strong win this one?
I mean, there's part of me that remembers them teasing a possible breakup for the Undisputed Era. And I'd kind of like to see that, if only because Roderick was a last minute kind of a space filler.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him get out on his own and kind of be the star he was intended to be originally. So there's part of me that can legitimately see the Undisputed Era coming up short in all three matches tonight.
Yeah, I could see that too, but I also have a theory where it's like two of them will lose and one wins. Like, and it could be in any order. Like,
I mean, I think if Roderick wins and Cole loses, like, you might see a bit of a power struggle.
Yeah, because I can see that going. But Riddle just lost on TV, and I don't know if you're going to have him lose back-to-back.
This would also be the second straight takeover he'd lose.
Yeah, so it's like, and they were really high on Riddle, and it's like, he could be the guy who goes next for the title shot. Oh, Lindsay, who are you going with in this one?
Well, I mean, to kind of piggyback off some of the other points, I think the story of this is going to be where is Roderick Strong's head? Is he really with Undisputed Era, or is he not with Undisputed Era? I think that's kind of going to be the overlying story of this, not necessarily Riddle and Strong. This will be fine. This will be wonderful to watch. I don't know if I would necessarily use this as a cooldown match, but I think it may just have to be just because of what it is. But yeah, I feel like this, like you said, this could get lost, or this could be the show stealer. This could be a sleeper. We don't know what this is going to be. I don't know why, but I feel like whatever happens in this has a bearing on Adam Cole's match.
Yeah, it does.
Because I feel like if you're going to do it where you're going to have Roderick Strong get involved with Adam Cole, this will determine your outcome. So I almost feel like, I don't know, like, I want to say Cole gets involved in this, but I just don't see him doing it.
I don't think he gets involved. I could see the other. It's hard because you could say, hey, the other guys will get involved, but they could be beat up for the ladder match, depending on placement.
Yeah, it's really hard because it all depends on where this goes in the show. And also, I don't know, this is a hard one to tell because it's like, Matt Riddle is their guy. Like you said, like, Matt Riddle, they're making him a star. They brought him in. I feel like having him lose again is not going to do him any favors. But I feel like if you have Roderick Strong lose, that's not going to help him either.
So
unless it's not clean.
So who are you going with?
Oh, crap. I don't know. I almost have to say Riddle, but it's not a clean finish.
Omega, who you got?
I think I'm going with Riddle.
So confident tonight so far.
Well, it's a hard one to call. Because it could go literally either way, depending on what they're going to do. Like, we don't know what this is going to be the next step to.
Yeah. Like, they could tell a good story either way here.
All right, so two Riddles. Brent, who are you going with?
Riddle via shenanigans. I think it's either Bobby Fish accidentally or Cole will cost him the match, which will play into something later.
Just with all the Riddle picks, I really just want to go Strong just to be different. But
do it.
No, I'm going to go Riddle. I'm going to go Matt Riddle. He'll get a clean win. Clean tap out victory with the bro mission. Magic 8-Ball. Will Roderick Strong beat Matt Riddle at NXT TakeOver this Saturday? Outlook not so good. So with the 8-Ball is on our side on this one. All right.
Don't trust the traitorous whore. It'll turn.
Up next, it is the NXT North American Championship, the Velveteen Dream against NXT's newest superstar, the returning Prince Pretty, Tyler Breeze.
Okay, we all win with this. It doesn't matter who actually wins this match. We all win with this. You want to know why? Because they're going to fight, and then they're going to become best friends, and it's going to be the greatest thing we've ever seen in our lives. At least that's what I hope happens.
Dream's entrance could be really good, just mocking Breeze somehow.
But I feel like they're going to give Breeze something
epic. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I have this image of Velveteen coming out with like a 50-foot selfie stick.
No, he does the whole Tyler Breeze model getup with like the furry legs and the vest, but it's like way overdone. I see a cape going on here.
I also don't see a 50-foot long selfie stick. I see about 7 selfie sticks, just people holding cameras around him to catch every glimpse of the Dream.
That works too.
But yeah, officially, Tyler Breeze is back in NXT full-time now. He's no longer on Raw or SmackDown. He's down in NXT to refine himself. Sort of what Tyson Kidd did years ago as an example.
I feel like he's where he belongs. I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, but it's like they didn't know what to do with him on the main roster. They didn't understand the character, so it's like, put him where he belongs. Put him in his home, and that is NXT.
And he's motivated. this should be really good. It sucks because, you know, Dream's probably going to win and Tyler's just going to lose any momentum just coming out of the gate.
I feel like that's not going to be the case, though.
You think Tyler's going to go over?
I think Tyler goes over.
What gives you that hunch?
He's coming back. This is one of the only This is the only match on the card where Undisputed Era is not involved.
Well,
or one of the only matches that Undisputed Era is not involved. They're involved indirectly in the women's match, but that's only because somebody's married to somebody in Undisputed Era there. But, I mean, it's Breeze's return. You have to build Breeze back up a little bit. You do. Because of all the damage that's been done on the main roster, it's like, the fan base isn't as familiar. This fan base is familiar with Tyler Breeze, and we all remember Tyler Breeze, but you have to introduce him to the new fans that have come in and who he is and what he does. And if they're only familiar with him from the Fashion Police, then you got to fix that.
Yeah.
So I feel like you give, because I feel like Dream could take the win to Breeze, and then you, or the loss from Breeze, and then you could do a second, third match out of this. Because you have to remind people of how good Tyler Breeze actually is.
I can see that. Where do you see this going, Omega?
It's difficult to try and get like back into the mindset of NXT Tyler Breeze versus WWE jobber joke Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, big shock, Vince didn't know what to do with an Instagram-obsessed wrestler. But I can remember him coming up too early in the first place. Like, I never thought Tyler Breeze had done enough before getting that main roster call-up. So I'm kind of glad to see him back. But for his first foray back, I don't think it should be as cut and dry as, oh, well, he's from the main roster. Of course he's going to beat the NXT guy. You know, that you know, you can say, like, it feels obvious that, you know, Velveteen's going to retain, because, you know, Velveteen's so over right now. Tyler Breeze is just kind of getting back, and he's been jobbing out for months if you do see him. But at the same time, I think it's also a predictable route to say, well, main roster stars are better than NXT stars, and I don't want them to make that point by giving Tyler the belt. You know, it should be a fun match. And yes, if there is a wrestling god watching down upon us that isn't JBL, then we need to see these two just like go complete bromance afterwards, because God, it
would be so good. It would be so ridiculously good.
It would be amazingly entertaining.
Brent, thoughts, opinions, what?
Excuse me. In terms of this, as has already been said, this is going to be a good match. It's going to be the reintroduction of Tyler Breeze because, yeah, he has been away for a while. Some people may have forgotten what he can do aside from, you know, lose a match in 3 minutes. But I honestly think in terms of this, Lindsay was saying if Breeze loses, it kind of kills his momentum. I think, honestly, if he goes out there and puts on a show that he can, or, you know, showcase what he can do and what he did back in NXT, losing this match isn't going to hurt him that much, because people are going to leave the match, much like Dream did in certain instances, where you just leave that match going, wow, that guy can wrestle, that guy is good. And I think that's the case here, where Dream is just too goddamn entertaining with that belt, and Breeze, with his first reintroduction back to NXT, could go out, have a great showing, still eat a pin, but, you know, come out looking like $1,000 or, you know, get 1,000 likes on his Instagram post. I don't know, whatever comes first. But yeah, in the end, I think Breeze comes out better even in a loss.
Who uses the phrase $1,000? The phrase is $1,000,000.
Yeah.
We're talking developmental. They don't have $1,000,000 down there.
It's WWE developmental. I would bet they do.
Plus the fact of if it was $1,000,000, he would win. I was going for that tier down.
Yeah, I know. Could be a good match. I'm going Dream. Omega, who you got?
I've got Dream.
Brent, who you got?
The Velveteen Dream.
Lindsay, who do you have?
I'm going Tyler Breeze, but I don't think he wins the title.
Interesting.
Lindsay's going very shenanigan heavy.
On an NXT show. Magic 8-Ball, will Tyler Breeze become the new NXT North American champion? It is decidedly so.
Alright.
Up next, the NXT Women's Championship. Shayna Baszler defends against Io Shirai. On TV, Shayna always has her girls. On TV this week, Io has some backup. And Candace. I like the Io-Candace pairing. It's a nice one.
It is so saccharine sweet. It's amazing.
Then you add Casey in there, then there's your trio.
Oh my god, yes!
Thoughts, Omega, on this match?
I'm looking forward to it. Like, Shayna's friends have been kind of that little shadow over, and I'm still not certain that someone who's booked as dominant as Baszler should need help like that in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that Io's going to have some backup. I'm glad that she's got someone watching her back to level the playing field. It's interesting that it should technically keep the shenanigans to a minimum, Lindsay.
I didn't say there was going to be shenanigans in the other match. I just said Breeze wins, but he doesn't win the title. Could be Velveteen rolls out of the ring and Breeze gets it by countout.
But you don't think the first match is going to be won cleanly, though?
Brent's the one who said shenanigans in the first match.
Okay, so Brent's got shenanigans in that match.
Yeah.
Possible shenanigans.
Yeah.
With the possibility of shenanigans.
Brent, in your notes, write down shenanigans. Who has what? Just keep track.
Okay.
We have a shenanigans tracker now.
The only reason I'm saying shenanigans as much is because Road Dogg's down there now.
Oh, shit. can we start over?
No.
Every match, dusty finish.
Fuck, I forgot. I've been using NXT logic. This is bad.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, I knew. I just forgot.
Brent, thoughts on this?
Overall, Shayna has been shown to look strong. She's kind of done what we talked about a couple of months ago when Shayna was holding with the belt. And in this kind of situation, she's running a roughshod over the division. You know, she chased Kairi Sane off to the main roster. She's, you know, interfering in whatever match she wants to just kick ass and take names. The one thing I do like about the Io pairing, though, is Io just gives no fucks. There's, you know, someone starts to get roughed up and she'll just run out there just to get in Shayna's face, mm-hmm. which is something I really like, because now you're starting to see her and Candace kind of going, we're not afraid of you. You can come in and rough people up, but we're still going to show up. And oh, by the way, we can bring a cane to the match and it chases them off. So in this instance, and plus the fact of, I'll give a little jump ahead, I honestly think it's almost time for Baszler to lose this belt. Io would be a great person to put that title on and let her kind of have a run with it, get Shayna to chase it again, or, you know, maybe let one of the other horsewomen start to shine a little. Because
mm-hmm.
all we've seen is Shayna. We've seen the other two kind of do their kind of hit and run spots, but we haven't really seen a lot of them as wrestlers themselves. I know that they're still kind of working, but these two are ones that people are saying are coming along pretty damn quick. So I'd kind of like to see what they can do. And I think with Shayna holding the title, you're not going to get that chance.
Lindsay?
Io, I want the goddamn points.
But I thought you were trying for last.
What?
I thought you were trying for last place.
I am, but I still want the goddamn points.
Lindsay, that's my damn spot.
It's mine. What's it
going to last, but not by a lot?
I love the fact that Lindsay and I are just fighting over who finishes dead last.
Well, I'm not going to get first, so I have to fight for something. No, I think it's time for Shayna to chase again. Like, Shayna is good with that title when she's chasing it, and she's good right after she wins it. But I feel like just for variety, you need to have her chase it for a minute. And if you're not going to give it to Bianca and go there with it, then I feel like Io should have it. If nothing else, because Io is badass and I want the points. But yeah, I mean, and it could be that maybe this time having the girls there don't pay dividends. And this time that's what cost Shayna the match. We don't know. Or it could be they're a non-factor. Candace and the girls get into it and they fight off, or they get thrown out and it ends up being Io and Shayna one-on-one. And this time Shayna can't get it done. Because, you know, that's what happens in the clutches. It's like she's got the girls, but in the end she can carry herself. Like, she doesn't have to worry about it. In the end, she's got it. Maybe this time she doesn't.
Possibly.
Because Io Shirai, it's like Io Shirai is more, I think, more experienced than her and is a different style wrestler and very, very good at what she does. Let's all be completely real. She didn't earn the title Genius of the Sky by, like, just, you know, screwing around. So that could play a factor too. But yeah, Io Shirai, all the way. Give me the points.
In a way, this feels like a throwaway NXT takeover, because it's not like it's not with the big four, it's like it's left on its own. So you think about that, and it's like, are they going to make a big move and then Shayna's reign here, or will they save it for a weekend where there could be more eyeballs on the show.
They are kind of lampshading this and spotlighting it as NXT 25.
That was going to be my other point. It's like, it is also NXT 25, so it's one, you can't say NXT Bridgeport.
It's on its own weekend.
Yeah. So it's weird.
All the eyes are going to be on this.
It is, but it is, but in terms of promotion, it's like, it's not, it's just sort of wedged in there. It's a weird placement, and always the middle one of the year before SummerSlam is always weird. So I go into that and go, will they make the change? Like, they could, and then they could do another change in wherever, Toronto, in the summer. I want Io as champion. I think she needs it. I think I've been saying this for months. Shannon needs to be up on the main roster. Her and the girls need to just be there. But there's no spots. There's zero spots for them right now. Because if Shannon goes up with them as a trio, they would work. But there's no spots.
Yeah. Like, the main roster right now doesn't know what to do with the women that they have.
Right. So
like, even with tag belts, like, they just have too many women going on.
Like, Shayna's stuck in a spot where she's past NXT. She's learned everything she can in NXT. Like, she needs to go up. It's sort of like Bayley. Bayley was down there too long. I feel like we're hitting that point with Shayna where it's like, whatever specialness Shayna has, you're going to end up wasting some of it in NXT. Sort of like a Shinsuke, maybe. Because she's getting older. She's not young like the other girls were. It's weird. She's in a weird spot.
Yeah. I feel like she's been down in NXT for so long, whereas like where Bayley was left in NXT because they needed someone established to maintain that women's roster while the next crop came up. I feel like they've now leaned on Shayna for so long that it's actually hurting potential up and comers in NXT.
And she's only been there since 2017, but she's 38. Think about that. It's weird. Like, she should be up on the main roster, just based on age alone. It's like, that's her spot. Lindsay says she wants points for Io. I'm going to go Shayna retains. Omega, who you got?
You know what? I'm going to go with Io. Because I genuinely think Shayna's held that title for way too long, and it's not interesting anymore to keep it on her.
Right.
So, I mentioned during my picks, I really think that, yeah, it's time for Shayna to lose the belt. I think even putting it on someone else will just give a freshness to it. Because right now it's just, oh yeah, Shayna has the belt. But number one, to give Lindsay points so I can take my rightful place at the bottom of the division.
Fuck you.
And two, if you do want to move Shayna up, you could have her lose this match. You could put the horsewomen in a six-woman tag at the takeover in Toronto, and then right after SummerSlam, you move her up.
Fun push. No, 40 is not too old, but you're wasting her good. Like, she has good momentum now. Like, she's peaking. You don't want her to peak too much in NXT, yeah. And then
you don't want the majority of her career to be in NXT.
Yeah. 8-ball. Will Shannon Baszler retain this Saturday at NXT Takeover? Yes. So there you go.
I just want to add on to that. Most of the women's roster is in their mid 20s.
Early 30s.
You have a few in their early 30s, but a lot of them are in their 20s versus Shayna Baszler, who's at least probably about 10 years older than everybody else. And that's not to say that she's too old, but just in terms of her body and the abuse that she's already put her body through for MMA, you're on a ticking time clock with that. So you want to make sure that you get the most out of her that you can get, and also that she gets the most out of this that she can get. Because she did work the indies before this as well. So it's kind of like everybody else that comes off the indies. You have a certain amount of time before it all starts to go wrong. And you want to make sure you get her in to where she needs to be before it all goes wrong.
There you go. It is for the vacant NXT tag team titles. It's a ladder match. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Street Profits versus the Undisputed Era versus the Forgotten Sons. It's going to be really good. Say that about everything. I don't want to see Undisputed Era winning. They don't need the belts.
I feel like Kyle O'Reilly is going to die for our sins.
Probably.
Like, oh, Kyle, no.
Like, to me, this is like the Forgotten Sons' chance to be something or really not have any place in the division going forward. Like, this is their match to lose. What do you think, Brent?
I was, honestly, when I looked at this match and just what they've done on TV recently, this has to be the Forgotten Sons. This has to be their coming out party of, you know, we won't be overlooked anymore. Even if it comes to the fact of you've got, was it Jackson
Riker?
You've got him on the outside And they've just been portraying him as a fucking beast. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things of, yeah, you have the Undisputed Era throughout the card, but I really don't think you're going to see the other two in this match. It's just going to be Fish and O'Reilly. Street Profits, they're entertaining, but I don't know that they don't really do anything for me as a tag team. Lorcan and Birch are good, solid hands, but I don't know, they just feel kind of there. So if I have to look at Undisputed Era versus Forgotten Sons, I think the numbers game in this catches up to Undisputed Era. And yeah, they can, the Forgotten Sons can win and therefore kind of laud it over the division of, look, you guys tried to bypass us, but we have this now. You have to come through us.
Basically, we need new kings of the division. You got to move away from the Undisputed Eras. We're moving away from the Viking Raiders. It's time for a team like the Street Profits or the Forgotten Sons to sort of take over Omega.
It is. And I feel like we can say that with a lot of these matches. Or I feel like there's a changing of the guard that has to happen. I feel that with the women's division. I feel that with the tag team division. You know, I don't want them to fall into the easy trap of, you know, just going back to the Undisputed Era. You know, I could see this going a few different ways. Like it strikes me that the Street Profits could win this, but they've spent they've gotten more attention in Evolve than they have NXT.
They have.
What now?
Evolve, the promotion. When they went and became tag team champions for them for a little bit.
That thing.
Yeah, the developmental to the developmental system.
But they were champions.
I know, right?
I will agree with the sentiment. I don't want to see the Undisputed Era win this.
What are your thoughts on this match, Lindsay?
As much as I like the Street Profits, they had a moment. Right? And this was about a year ago. You had your chance, and I feel like they didn't capitalize that on as well as they should have. Mm-hmm. And the Street Profits sort of like faded into non-existence. And then it's like you introduced the Forgotten Sons, and they were just kind of on the edge, and they were on the edge, and now they've really started to push them a little bit harder. And as much as I do love the Street Profits, and I love everything that they're about, I feel like they need to be re-elevated a little bit just to bring them back into that limelight, just to get people behind them again. Not that to say that there aren't people behind them, but it's just when I went to NXT last year and they came out, people were like all about them. Like people had the cups and the blankets and the flags and they were like, yeah, Street Profits. And then like nothing, right? Like they just vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And you never heard anything from them ever again because it's like essentially the Undisputed Era showed up. And that was it.
Right.
And it was like.
And that's when they went to Evolve.
And so now it's like you've brought them back to NXT. And it's like I feel like you need to either highlight the Evolve stuff or you need to elevate them before you really put a title on them. Not to say that them winning a title would not be awesome, because it absolutely would. Kyle and Bobby would look absolutely cute with the titles, but I don't want to see them win again. I don't want that whole Undisputed Era draped in gold, because we've kind of already seen that in various stages, and it just would be like more of the same old, same old. Like, for whatever reason, this is Undisputed Era's night, and it turns out to be a disaster for them, which just highlights the problems that they already have in the group as a whole. And starts to rebuild that tension that we saw a few weeks ago, where it's like, well, are they going to split apart or aren't they going to split apart? I would honestly be okay if the Forgotten Sons came to the dance and took it home. Again, there's three of them. You've got one on the outside that can watch out for the other two. And yeah. And is it, here's what I want to know. Is it like a free bird rule where any of them can compete, or is it like what New Day has to do and it's two in, one out? Does anybody know?
Not sure.
I haven't really asked them.
Well, I mean, have they said on TV? I don't remember if they said anything on TV about it.
I don't think they've said anything on TV about it.
So, I mean, it depending on how that goes, which is probably the latter, then you could have potentially three people in this match for the Forgotten Sons as opposed to two. So it's like, that's another advantage. Mm-hmm. But yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be upset if the Forgotten Sons won.
So is that your pick?
That's my pick.
Meg, your pick is?
Forgotten Sons.
Brent, your pick is?
Them three boys.
I'm going to be different. I'm going with Street Profits because I just... Someone has to be different.
We all can't agree, damn it.
No, Magic
8-Ball. Have to be contrary.
Magic 8-Ball, will the Undisputed Era become the next NXT Tag Team Champions? 8-Ball says no. Will the Forgotten Sons become the next NXT Tag Team Champions? No. Will the Street Profits become the next NXT Tag Team Champions? I look not so good. So it means only Lorcan and Danny Burch are your new Tag Team Champions.
Oh God, I didn't even mention them. I forgot about them. Crap.
The 8-Ball is going to completely show us up on Saturday when Lorcan and Burch actually win.
Right.
All right, main event NXT Championship, Gargano and Cole. Thoughts, opinions, Omega.
Oh my freaking God. So when this was a last minute, like, replacement match, they put on one of the best matches NXT has ever had. Now they've had time to prepare.
Imagine
that.
And it's going to be hyped because there's only one fall this time.
One fall. Cheers.
The outcome might be a little bit interesting here, because I remembered while we were talking about this, while I was looking over the card, he's nursing a knee injury right now, which isn't expected to hamper the match, but it might hamper how they play it out.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I really kind of like this, like, Undisputed Era's coming up short the whole night thing.
And you can
which I didn't intend on, but
it could happen. Like, you could have, and you know, they'll be involved somehow. So it's like, who's going to cost him if that is the case?
I'm not even sure if anyone's going to cost it.
Part of me is like, my brain goes, Roderick Strong is going to cost him, and then you build Cole and Strong for Toronto. I don't, that's sort of weird. It's like,
I feel like the turn's going to happen here.
Roderick has been playing it really cool recently, of like, yeah, I'm taking care of the Matt Riddle problem. I would just, because we saw the blow up that Cole had behind the scenes at Strong, and essentially telling him, like, you're worthless, you shouldn't be in this group. And I just want to see Roderick in this big moment, you know, look like he's going to help Adam and then just drop him and stand over him and just be like, yep, I can do it to you too, and just walk away.
But here's the big question, right? In terms of this group. Sorry, I don't mean to sidetrack the conversation.
No, go.
But, like, okay, so hypothetically, Strong turns on Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Could you split the group where O'Reilly and Fish go with Strong and they all turn on Adam Cole? We're like, you know what? We don't need you.
No.
Because I feel like you can't split Fish and O'Reilly. No. Kyle O'Reilly needs adult supervision.
They're a team.
So he has to stay with Bobby Fish.
Yeah, they're a team.
Oh, God, they're going to be the kids in the divorce. That's all it's going
to
be.
They are.
Parents
Poor
are going to be fighting, and they're going to sit there and go, what do we do?
Kyle's just going to stand there with that shocked look on his face, and he's going to need a hug afterwards, whatever happens. But, I mean, that's going to be the other flip side of that, is it's like, well, if Roddy turns, are Fish and O'Reilly going to turn?
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the kids in the divorce? Because, you know, Roddy could be like, or we don't see that, and you play that out on TV, where it's like, you know, Roddy walks up to them, and he's like, hey, you know, Adam's wrong, or, you know, you've seen Adam, and Adam's the real failure, we're the real successes. Because the flip side to this is, Roddy wins, Undisputed, or O'Reilly and Fish win, Cole loses, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the other side of this scenario, is it is Undisputed Era's night, except for Adam Cole. And it's, you know, Roderick Strong just looks at him and is like, see, he's the failure, not us. We got it done.
I mean, yeah, I can see that.
You sound so enthused about that answer. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's not the best scenario, but it's a scenario that they could go with. Like, that's the thing, is it's like, how is this story going to get told? But either way, I feel like you almost have to do the turn here.
Yeah, you gotta turn. If you're doing the breakup, the turn has to be here. Like, that's, because then you could do the blow off in Toronto. That's sort of like, if you're doing wrestling booking 101, that's how you go. And you build from there, and you make Roderick Strong the babyface, and he fights Kyle O'Reilly once, and then he fights Bobby Fish once, and then gets to Cole. That's sort of, that's wrestling booking 101, and they like, NXT likes wrestling booking 101, makes it simple and easy to follow. It's like, it's how you do it.
It's like it's like someone who actually understands wrestling today is in charge of it or something.
Something like that. Who knows? It's weird. You notice we're not really talking about Gargano in this?
No, because we don't have to question Gargano at all. Gargano's going to be amazing.
Well, I think it's...
Go ahead.
I think, as we talked about before, the whole story of this pay-per-view is the Undisputed Era and just being blanketed across the whole card. So, of course, in this match, we're going to focus on that bit because that's what the storyline is, essentially.
Yeah. You know, like, we could be talking about TakeOver 25 as the night the Undisputed Era exploded.
Now, on the whole entire flip side, it's like, I think Adam Cole needs the belt at some point, and I think this could be a good spot to get it. Just because Omega brought up Gargano's minor injury, it's like, okay, Johnny's in limbo.
But I feel like Johnny worked so hard and so long to get that title that to just kind of sort of give it to him for a couple months and then that's it, it's not long enough.
Yeah,
like, I feel like he needs a long reign.
That was a year-long story to get that belt.
Oh, why not?
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah, you don't drop it after 2 months. I think Cole needs the belt at some point, but like you said, like you said, it felt like they were setting up Riddle to be, you know, potential new challenger. Well,
oh, I know, but then again, yeah. Cole and Riddle would play off the story. You can do many different ways. There are many different outcomes.
I feel like they have better options and better stories if they let Gargano and Riddle play for a while for the belt. Meanwhile, the Undisputed Era is just having absolute chaos with each other.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. I'll chime in after.
I was just going to say, I feel like if you're going to do Adam Cole as champion, you almost hold that out for, like, Mania weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hold it out for a big, like, Rumble or Mania weekend. For one of the big four
Survivor Series, because holding them past Mania, that's another one where you're just wasting it.
Or Rumble.
Well, I said Rumble. See, Survivor Series is so hit or miss because sometimes they do a takeover on Survivor Series and sometimes they don't.
It's War Games.
Is it War Games?
Yep.
Ooh.
I mean, you could do Cole there. Like, I feel like if you're going to crown him as champion, it needs to be on one of your big four pay per views. Or tied to one of your big four pay-per-views, and you need to have as many eyeballs on it as possible, because Adam Cole is Adam Cole. Bar none, that's it. You know, and it's, if you're gonna use him, that's how you use him. Period. You don't just throw it away where it's like, oh, hey, we're gonna give Adam Cole the title now, because LOL. No, you want to make sure there are as many eyeballs on that as possible, especially given what happened this past weekend, and what's coming for them in the fall. So, you need to be strategic about that one.
Oh, no, but part of me is like, all the top brand champions or baby faces, and I kind of want to heal. So
I get that. I appreciate that. But who's to say that if the turn happens that Adam Cole's not going to be a baby face?
It's Adam Cole. He's a heel.
Well, and
he's a slimy
you
heel.
Know that. Yeah. The question is, they know that.
They know that. They know that.
Technically, is the Dream a face, or is he kind of writing?
He's
writing whatever he is.
Dream is a force of nature.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and the one thing I wanted to say real quick is we keep saying that Adam Cole needs the title. I don't know if he really does, because I think the fact he was the first North American champion, would it be great to give him a run with the belt in NXT? Sure. But I don't think it's one of those like necessities for him. In a sense, he could be bigger than the belt in a sense. Of, you know, people are going to go for him no matter what. And if he makes the transition to the top roster, then he can challenge for anything up there as well. I don't know if he necessarily needs it. I think it would be a nice thing, but yeah, I'm not sure. And if you do it, I agree. Do it at one of the big shows and make it like that spot. Kind of like Johnny winning his belt. Make it the moment.
Okay, Brent, who you got?
I'm going to take another points hit here, I think. Johnny Gargano with the win.
Omega.
Gargano.
Lindsay.
Gargano.
Yeah, I'm going to go Johnny Gargano. 8-ball. Will Johnny Gargano retain his title this Saturday at NXT TakeOver? All signs point to yes.
Ew.
So there's your preview.
So that does it for NXT. Any final thoughts?
It's going to be fun.
No?
It's going to be fun Saturday.
It's going to be fun Saturday. It's going to be a good show. Everybody tune in and watch and listen, but Omega, you have stuff to plug, so plug away.
I do. So if you want to see what I am up to, you can follow me pretty much anywhere online under one name, unless you want to follow me over on Facebook, in which case, check TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle, that is the YouTube channel with a ton of content, and for more content beyond even that, go to tjomega.net.
Brent.
All right.
I don't really have much to plug. I mean, if you do want to interact with me, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can listen to a recent podcast that we did critiquing Double or Nothing. And if you have any opinions on that, come at me, bro. Oh, and by the way, 2048 and counting.
That podcast you were referring to was CB Radio Not So Live, 2+ hours of AEW Double or Nothing talk, now available at CBRadioLive.com. Speaking of that, that's Saturday night, midnight-ish. We're doing cheese for the Greater Than Great debate, because me and Brent just have reasons for things. Before that, though, will be NXT TakeOver. The Rack Extra reviews NXT TakeOver 25, probably like 10 p.m. Eastern. Once the show ends, we'll be live. Sunday night, I assume Russell Talk Radio is 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Check out all the Rock Extra reviews, Ms. and Mrs. The whole collection is available at rockradioshow.com. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Oh, next week we'll be previewing Super Showdown. So there you go. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you have an Amazon account, Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. That's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the channel. Another way you can do that is use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. And, well, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So, for Rock, for Omega, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody, sit tight. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to be doing Fortnite with friends. So, till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.